They say music is life, so I give them the Chacha Music Review Podcast. Turned up the volume, gave them the time of their lives. They said they wanted new artists, I gave them the Chacha Spotlight Series. They wanted deep music conversations, I plugged them into the Chacha Let's Talk Music Series. They are crazy about the hitmakers, so I hit them with the Chacha Hitmakers Series. And for the albums I know they shouldn't miss, I bless them with the Chacha Album Review Series. I created the Chacha EP Compilation Series, so they will have a taste of the best of EPs. They should tell their friends. You should let your family know. We should let everyone who cares about African music know. Afrisanova is back in the game. And you can catch me every Saturday amplifying the African sounds by bringing the best of African music to your ears. I am your musical plug, the creator of the Energy Force. And this is the Chacha Music Review Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and members of the Chacha Nation. My name is Afrisanova, your musical plug, creator of the Energy Force, and I'm back with another episode of the Chacha Hitmakers series. The Chacha Hitmakers series is where I get to bring music producers and we talk about the process of making that hit record that you all enjoy. And without wasting much of your time, let me allow my producer for today to introduce himself.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. My name is Sean Speed, aka Sean B. Where you at?
Thank you for being on the podcast today.
So, it's nice to be here.
All right, so let's start off with the name. How did you come about the name?
Man, the story. Let me start from where it is. So, my name is Sean Adomi.
Okay.
So, I remember, like, production for me started in Ghana, you know, back in 2005, 2006. That's when I was in Ghana. So, I schooled in Ghana. Then, my name was Sean. So, they used to find it hard to pronounce my name. They used to call it Shwen. Some people used to call it Shwem. They had different pronunciations for it. So, and I remember like in secondary school, I had the nickname Sean John because of the designer. So I was just like, you know what? Let me just identify that name Sean. So they were like, okay, yeah, they can call me Sean. Sean was like easy. So when they said calling me Sean, then when I graduated into production making, one of my top producers that I liked then was Timbaland, then Swizz Beatz. And you know, like Swizz had that stuff, like Swizz Beatz. So I was like, oh, I can take that beat too. Then my Sean's, I just added Z to the front. So it was like Sean's Beat. So that was just how I just stuck to the name.
You know, like you said, you mentioned right now that production started for you in Ghana. What led you into music production?
Man, what led me to music production? Before I actually went to Ghana, I actually loved music, you know. Like just growing up in my house, like my pops, before he travels, when he goes on road trips most times, and he calls me to his room when my sisters would be downstairs watching their soap opera and stuff. So he makes me record music on his tape. He has his own kind of music that I listen to. Then he used to listen to Ghana music and some kind of Igbo music, you know. He's a Yoruba man. So he makes me record his songs on two tapes, A and B, side A and B now. So the other part that is left, like the remaining, then he tell me that to just had any extra songs, like my own songs. So then I just started recording my own songs and just fill it up. And he just knows, I mean, I like to listen to music, and music has just been a part of my life, you know, just growing up. Like the first hip hop CD I bought was DMX CD, or just outside that shit. Like, so I just had that love for music, whether it was DJing, you know, or just listening to music. And there was a piano in the house. I didn't know how to play the piano, but the piano had like, they had keys written on them, like for learners, you know, like you see the keys. So I just used to play. I think my pops used to play, but he never really sit down to really teach me. So it was just like I had to teach myself. So I used to play the piano and it was just interesting. I recorded some stuff with the piano and everything. So that's how it started back then. I was really younger. See, I have pictures of that stuff then. When, after secondary school, you know, me going into university, before I went to school in Ghana, I was schooling in Igbenedion. So when I was there in school, I just used to tell people like, I know about Fruity Loops. I know how to make beats. I had no idea of the software then. Someone told me about it, you know. So for some reason, I left there. I couldn't finish this. I went to start over again in Ghana. So when I was entering Ghana, I was like, you know what? I need to read a course that would be interesting, but I had no idea what to read. So I'm like, you know what? I just read computer science because when I do that, I'll be able to get my own laptop. So my idea was just, let me just get a laptop. Let me see if I can get a software and start making beats, you know. So when I got to Ghana, I got my laptop, reading computer science. Then I got FL 2 or 3. That's where I started from. So I just started making beats. It was boring beats, yeah, when I started, but I just kept enjoying it myself, and over time, everything kicked up.
I like the fact that you said you wanted something that would get you, you wanted a course that would make you have a computer, so you went for computer science.
Yes, so as in, you know, I had to.
Also, at what point did you now, because again, like you said, you just wanted to make beats, you know, that was just what you wanted. But at what point did you now decide to say, okay, you know what, I think this music production is what I want to do as a career. And what was that thing that led up to that decision?
That's deep. It took like 2 years or a year plus. I just kept making beats. And the top producers then were JQ, then Hammer. And when I heard these guys, when I heard that beat, I just wanted to make something close to that stuff. And it wasn't easy. Kept grinding. So like after a year or two, that's when it was becoming more solid, you know. Then I realized that I enjoy this thing. I love this thing, this stuff, to the point that my rent for my old store that I had to take it to buy some studio equipment. Then, like I said, I used my rent. I bought my first mic, my speakers, because I had my laptop already. So when I got those things, I felt like, you know, yeah, this is a business. Like, I think this is what I want to do. So it was at that point I decided, like, you know, this is what I want to do. Then I just, making music. And before I knew, most of those Ghana artists that I had, they started coming to the old store, you know, because I was in the old store then. And most of them started coming up, whether the ones are about to drop their new songs or stuff, you know, they just started coming up. I made friends with some DJs. Then I had 2 artists that I kind of signed in quotes then. So they were the ones that were like, I used them as a reference just to build myself, you know. So we just kept working together, and yeah, as everything goes. So it was at that point that I actually, you know, made that decision, like, you know, this is what I want to do in my life.
Okay, fine. That's interesting. Now let's talk about, you know, the first song you produced. I mean, like you rightly said, you've been making beats for a while. You just, you know, just normal making beats. But now you now decided to go into production after, you know, spending a lot of money on equipment. And I felt like, since I'm investing in this, why not take it as a career and all of that? Now let's talk about the first song you actually produced. Like, okay, I produced, you know, I made the beats and whatever it is production is all about, I produced this song fully. Take us through that experience in total.
Okay. Man, I should ask these questions right now. This question just asked, like, I'm just trying to remember, because I'm like, bro, this is like 20 years ago. Like, that's it's like nobody has even asked me the first song. It wasn't an official song, not like it dropped on radio. So I think there was this Chris Brown song that was out then. I don't really remember the song, but it was like techno. I think it's Forever. I think that's the name of the song. So there was this artist I was working with. His name is Eddie Young. He's still in Ghana. So he brought that song. He said he wanted to do something like that. So I think that was the first production I did, and it was solid. Just, you know, from the beginning, I did beats in his presence, you know. But then I was comfortable with him, because then when I do productions, like, if you just come and be like, hey, Sean, I want this beat, you make your sound, all that stuff. I'll be like, okay. Then I wear my headphones. So I start making the beat, like, maybe like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Nobody's hearing anything from the speaker, just me. So, I just be in my own zone, make it, you know. Then when I put my headphones down, then you listen to the beat. Sometimes people be like, ah, no, this is not. I'll be like, no, sing it like this. Then, you know, everything started blending. But I don't really do that anymore. But when I made that first beat, I made it on speakers, because I was comfy with the artist I was working with. His name is Eddie. So yeah, I started with the strings, you know, it was feeling it. Then there was already a reference, so it was really easy. So the song was something like that one. So when I got that reference, I just had some of my own elements, just some of my own field drums, you know, just to make it a little different from that one, and the singing, obviously. So that was like the first song I recall that, yes, this is the first song that I produced, you know. The mix wasn't so good, but I know it sounded good and everybody liked it. Over then, we did some couple of songs too that weren't like official though. But yeah, we did some songs.
Was there any point where you felt like, maybe again, like you said, some of the first songs you did were not official songs. They were not probably released or dropped on radio or stuff like that, right?
Exactly.
But was there any point, you know, at that stage where, you know, let me use the word quote unquote, fast rising producer, where you were still finding your feet, you took like, come on, man, Shay, I will not leave this thing. I'll go and do something else like this. Was there any point like that? Or you had that belief like, you know what? I know I'm not there yet, but I can get there.
True. What it's more of the second part. Like, I know I'm not there yet, but I'll get there. Because that's a point when I remember when Kanye West dropped his album, In the Night, that Atlas song, you know? Like, when I heard that beat, my mind, I was like, God, like, it felt like I was playing with, how do I even put itself? It felt like I was trying to make Indomie an egg, and I saw what they call like real pasta, like continental dish pasta, like, you know, some mad sauce. I'm like, can I ever cook something like this? You know, that was the feeling, because it felt like, like, what am I even doing with these sounds? You know, when I heard that sound, and I didn't give up. I just like, you know what, I'll just try and mimic this stuff. And I kept trying, you know, but when I look at it now, thinking then, like, I knew what the problem was. Like, I didn't have good samples, you know, just for me to realize that even the samples that the guy used to make his beat, Kanye, like, there was just some samples, not like he created everything from scratch, you know. So back then, I didn't really have enough information, you know. I just had my own head, and I didn't have anybody that was like a mentor or something. So my mentors are people I was just listening to. So it was kind of difficult, you know. But I just kept on my grind. I just kept doing it, like, you know, kept doing it. And before I knew, I realized that, oh, you can get samples, you know, like different samples, and this thing start changing, you know, then your sound starts changing. I'm like, oh, okay, I couldn't really play the piano so good, you know. I didn't know these guys were getting samples. I mean, I was busy drawing piano keyboards that they were nice, but they didn't really sound so professional at the time, you know. So yeah, I had my few moments, but it was just more of me like, I'll do this thing and I'll keep, you know, pushing this stuff, because I had people who were feeling what I was doing too, so it was encouraging.
Now, what would you say, looking back now again, what would you say was your most difficult challenge, you know, as a fast rising producer back then?
I still even have some of those challenges now then, because me, I was like a one-man show, you know. I'll produce, record, I'll mix too, because I didn't really have anybody to help out, you know. So one of my challenges then was, I think, mixing some of the beats, you know. Like, I had no idea that some of our works are not properly, like, mixed properly, you know, because I remember we had shows, because these colors, we had some shows, our songs were heavy and good, you know. I think I was just kind of lucky. But at some point, I realized, my guy's voice, this one of the artists I work with, his name is Balo Flash, his voice is really deep. I didn't even know I was supposed to EQ the voice to remove enough side of the bass hand so that the voice is really clear, so I can bring out the mid-range of the voice. I didn't really know, I have no info about that stuff, so I just used to put it there. So the thing was just big, and everybody was like, this guy's voice is big. So everybody was happy, like, let's come out big from the speaker. So that mixing was something too that, you know, I had some issues with, you know. Then for the fact that Ghana was easy for me to just, you know, get in the system on, like, Nigeria, you understand? Like, so there was not too much difficulties in us getting placement for maybe shows or even some few radio airplays, you know. But I remember the DJ complaining, like, yo, this song has to be mixed well, like, the kick has to stand, it has to sound tight, this. When they explained, I understood what they were saying, but I didn't really know how to achieve, you know. So I just went back to my drawing board, and yeah, over time, we paid people to mix too then. And now I learned some mixing to myself, so, like, I have some good knowledge about that stuff, but it was a big challenge then. But even now, when I say I see other challenges, even now as a mixer, there are some songs you mix like this. When you mix, the person will be like, no, this is.
All right, now let's talk about your creation process, because I remember while you were talking about, you know, making your first beat and how you started, and you were like, you know, you put a headphone in your ear so that you just be in your zone. Now, so let's talk about your, you know, your creation process. So say you are about to produce a song. Take us through, you know, the first thing you do up until when the artist gets into the recording booth and, you know, starts recording and the song comes out. What is your creation process like?
So presently, my creation process now is more of your energy. For example, like, I have an artist I'm working with, you know, like, I like to tap from the energy of the person, in the sense that I just want to know what the song is about. Like, I ask some questions, like, yo, what's the song about? Like, where did you get the song from? How did it come to you? Some people, you realize that it's actually emotional. Like, it's something, maybe it's an experience or something they've had in them. I like to tap into that space so that I can use that energy and get in my own zone. And some people memorialize, it's just that they just want the song because this person did a song, but it sounds like this one. They just want this kind of sound. But whatever the case is, first of all, I start with that space. Like, you know, let me just get into this person. Let me know what the energy is like. What's the emotion on the song like, you know? So when I get that, then I get to work. Most times, I don't really start with drums. I like to hear them sing. Like, okay, what is the feeling, you know? That's why I like to start, you know, because I like to do is because when I hear productions, you know, from anywhere, if I play a piano chord right now and play another violin chord on it, if you listen to it as a producer, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's nice. You can play it too. So I like to make something unique, you know. So I urge my artists to get in their zone, in their emotional zone, and be words or anything, just emotions. After I play the string, I feel the string is nice. I'm like, okay, no beats, just the strings and metronome. Yeah, I just come and drop some emotions or just some sounds. So when you drop the sounds, there's a way I chop them up by converting them into vocal samples. So when I do that stuff and I do it well, that thing changes me a lot. So from that, I can now put the drums, now put everything. And as I'm going in the process, the artist is already feeling himself already, because sometimes it's like an element of surprise when I do that stuff with them. They become surprised about how I put the effect on their voice and how I treat it, you know. Comes on nice, you know, then we start making the beat together. But this process, I'm saying, is when I'm actually working with someone and we're working together, that sometimes I don't even see some of my clients, you know, some of my artists. Just like, you know what, make a beat like this, make a beat like this, and I can do that on. And there's some people before, I don't even get to talk to them, you know. Like, I did a beat for CDQ recently. I just had to put myself, I had to go and listen to some of the songs on YouTube and be like, you know what? And that ginger, like, CDQ is going to hear his beat. I have to impress him. I have to make sure I tap into his emotions, you know. Then when I'm done, I send him the beat. Then if it's good enough, he connects with it, then I feel it. Sometimes, so they don't connect, and if they don't connect, they're just like, you know what, if I have any reference, let's start from there or anything, you know. Yeah, so that's basically the process I go through to make my beat.
Okay, now that you've taken us through, you know, the process and all of that, let's talk about, I mean, let's say, for example, I'm a fast rising producer, or not even fast rising, I'm someone that's, probably because I hear what production looks like and I say, I want to become a producer. I want to, you know, I want to start producing record. Can you just, you know, simplify it, you know, as much as possible? What exactly is the work of a music, you know, producer? Or when you hear that, oh, this song was produced by Sean Beat, what exactly did, you know, Sean Beat did for him to be called the producer of that song? Can you just simplify it for us?
Yeah, I like that, because some people, they get these things mixed up sometimes, you know. They're actually beat makers and they're actually producers, you know. Producers can be beat makers, but not all beat makers can be producers, in the sense that a beat maker, like, I can just give you some software, you can put some few loops, you can just make a beat, and you have no ideology of how maybe you want the sound, the music to go. You just make the beat based on inspiration you have, or based on a sound that you heard and you like it, you want to make something like that, you know. But most times for a producer, they actually not just produce some of these songs freshly. They can make use of loops and anything, just like a beatmaker, but there is more ideology, like more ideas, you know, on the beat, more concepts that they have on the beat. Like, you know what? They can actually tell the artist, let this go this way, let the chorus come here. Or they can even draft this song with a new different arrangement that is unusual to the artist. So, and the artist will be like, okay, what's your plan here? Be like, okay, I want this to be here. I want the choir to come here. I want the guitar to play here. You know, so that's more production. It's similar to beat making. But most beat makers, they just drop the beat, then the artist brings his own concept. But when an artist is working with a producer, most times there's a concept on the line in the song or in the beat already that they can feel. So most producers are basically songwriters. You understand? So they can bring out more concept and actualize towards the production that they're making. And sometimes producers can just be beat makers and just make a beat, and because not all artists can actually blend, artists just want the beat. So it depends, yeah. But as a producer, I want to say, oh, this beat was produced by Don Jazzy. You know, that means there's enough input for me, not beat, there's enough input behind the song doing.
That's a very, very, you know, simple and straightforward explanation. All right, so now let's get into, you know, you rightly just mentioned you making a beat for CDQ recently. So let's talk about some of those, you know, artists that you've worked with, and which one, I mean, just mention about, let's say, five of those, you know, artists that we know that you've worked with, and which one would you say, you know, you enjoyed the section more?
Keep forgetting about these people. When they ask me, people I've worked with, but yeah, I've worked with a couple of people enough. I've worked with Durella, CDQ. Out of all of them, the ones I really enjoy their presence in the studio are like Timaya. I like his presence in the studio, man. His energy is always positive and it's full of wisdom most times, you know. Then, yeah, when I work with the bands too, anytime I work with him, his energy is big. Yeah, he comes in good in the studio. I like his energy. Anytime you're having a session with the band, most times like it's a party. Then, yeah, when I worked with Two-Face, that was my first time. And I remember that night, everybody was tired. Durella, that guy too, is a beast. Yeah, CDQ is very down to it. I love his session. Then Barry Tigger, the new kid too. Yeah, his energy is big in the studio. You know, more work, his energy too is good. And he's really creative. Yeah, so that's some few ones I can remember now.
Can we, you know, just so that people would know, you know, exactly what it is. Can we just like, look, for example, what song did you work on Two-Face with?
Man, the song I worked on Two-Face was the same thing. It was featuring Benson Kuti. The song was actually for Benson Kuti.
Okay, featuring Two-Face.
Featured Two-Face on it.
What about the one you did on Lounge?
Man, enough. Even the Face Show, Your Shoes Shine, that one was, I produced that one with the band. Then, yeah, we have some songs that are coming up already that I produced, yeah.
Let me ask one question that, you know, I feel like a lot of people will always try to want to understand. How do you exactly make a hit song? Is it just that you do what is best and you hope that, okay, yeah, the people will accept it, or there's a special ingredient that once I had this thing, this song will blow?
Man, I think you have to do all the best and add your special ingredient. You have to add everything. But first, it's based on the concept, the emotions, the energy. There's some kind of songs, you know, that maybe you're just trying to fill up an album, but there's some kind of songs that when you do, you as a producer, you're feeling it. Then the artist listen to it, then energy match, and you guys know that you're on to somewhere. But that is not even enough, because you guys might be doing one disco song or one, like disco, like techno song, you know, and you guys might be in your element feeling it. Doesn't mean when the song comes out, everybody be like, what are these people singing? So the thing is, it has to be regional, like, okay, you know what? What we're doing is Afropop, you know. But when the song is hot like that, you need to feel it. Definitely as a producer, you need to not just know what's in trend. Apart from knowing what's in trend, you need to know how to implement your uniqueness to whatever you're doing. But it has to be appealing to what the people are listening to. Why you have to see what's in trend is not because you want to copy what's in trend. It's because people are feeling some particular kind of sound, you know. And sometimes it doesn't always work like that. Because when Runtown dropped his Mad Over You, yeah, we had that Ghana sound going on. But after a guy dropped that song, everybody was doing bang bang with the piano sound, almost like, you know, you can't even replicate that stuff. Like, you just know where you're coming from. But it was just like a groove. People took the groove, you know. The Yes songs, the intro will come up, the earphone effects, you know, all that stuff. So there's just some basic element as a producer you pick up, you know, with what is trending or what is hot. And like I said, it doesn't have to be what's trending, because I like being unique, you know. But it has to be something you enjoy to yourself and be like, ah, this sounds good. And when the artist says it, it connects to it. And when the people in the studio, they can connect to it. So there's some songs to be like, ah, this song might be a hit song. And it comes out and it's not. But there's some songs that will be a hit song. Like when Timaya played, I said, this with us. You know, we knew that definitely that song, it picked it up from something that was almost trending already on social media, you know. Then it converted it to something that was sweet. I said, definitely that one, you know, that automatically. And besides, some people have the track record already. So he's done it before, he's done it more than four times, so he knows that this song will be a hit song. And besides, you know, we're at the point in Nigeria where once you have a song that is almost hot, you know, that is a potential hit song, but you still have to do some promo, you still have to have some money to back that thing up, because if you don't do that stuff, you know, the probability is not high. You might be blessed to, like Berry, you know, when he did the Machala song, it's not as if they spent like $4 million and be like, let's put this song out. But everything was just correlated, you know. Like I said, the artist was feeling the energy. The guy, the comedian at Future 2, was feeling the energy, and he just made something good and something that could trend at that point that, you know, people would love. And yeah, and he just put it on. I'm like, come on, let's hope it's a hit song. And once everything hits, so like, I guess we knew it was a hit song. That's how it is. So your energy just has to be 100. Put in the best you can put. Make sure the thing is sweet, you know. And remember, you're not doing the music for yourself or for your family. It's for the people out there that want to listen and enjoy good sounds.
All right, now let me ask you, you know, a question for the sake of somebody that wants to become, you know, a music producer like you in the future. Now, this question is going to be in two parts. You know, we hear a lot of issue in the industry where, oh, probably certain producer will call out certain artists for probably not getting, you know, maybe royalties or credit or whatever the issue will be, right? So my question is going to be two parts. The first part is, for someone that wants to go into music, you know, production, what are those things that a person needs to work on? You know, personally, it's okay. You want to learn production? No, this is what you should, you know, look out for or go after. That's number one. And then number two, how does the person, you know, not find themselves in that space of, oh, I did song for this artist, you know, give me credit, or that artist no pay me royalty. You know, how does that person avoid that kind of situation?
This is tricky, but yeah, it happens. So first and first, from the first part, you know, as a producer, you understand, or even a beat maker, or even a songwriter, you understand, the you know, the business is about craft and creativity, but that part is like 20%. So the 80% of the music business is actually the business. And so, you know, the music is the business. You know, it's just like somebody, like it's just like somebody that's selling food, you know, where in a system where if you own a business such as selling food, the government, and you have a business account, the government will bless you maybe monthly or something. And if people want to pay you, they can easily pay money to your business account, you know, that you have with, let's say, a GTB or any bank at all, you know. That's how the music is, you know. It's just that the music part, and some people, they don't even, they neglect other part. They just feel you just have to sell, you know, whatever you're selling to people as I give you money, you're just enjoying it, you know. But there's a structure, there's something that you have to be in so that you are more professional to whoever you're working with. So first thing, as a producer or a songwriter, you have to get your publishing fixed, you know. After you get your publishing, you need to have a performance right organization. After that, you need to have a song exchange. But I don't want to rush. Let me just break it down. Like, so for example, anytime you create music, you know, you own the copyright to your songs because you create them, definitely. But when you create music and you publish your music through distribution platforms, we have platforms that used to distribute your music, you know, like Little Music, CD Baby, all these are distributors online. You know, because right now anybody can do music from anywhere and you can put it straight on iTunes for the world to hear, but you need a platform to do that. That's your distribution platform. Most people in Nigeria, that's the business that they do with their music, just that distribution platform. They don't understand that you need to be registered as a writer, as a songwriter. You understand? When you register as a songwriter, you register with an organization that handles that part. And what that firm or what that body does is, they help you collect. Okay, before I go there, when you distribute your song through CD Baby and other distribution platforms, like I said, you generate money from your masters. Your masters is the main song that they put to YouTube, they put to iTunes and other streaming platforms. So all those platforms now, when they stream stuff, when you make money on them, when you get some good amount of streams, those platforms send the money back to your distributor. That's your CD Baby or your Ditto Music or whatever. But what people don't know is that same money that those streams generate, they still generate publishing money. They generate other kind of monies too that you can't collect unless you have a means to collect them. So there's this performance right stuff that it generates, like royalties. So if you are not registered as an artist, either with, for example, like bodies like BMI or ASCAP, you know, that different performance right organizations like that. So you have to be registered as an artist, as a songwriter on that platform such as BMI. Then outside that one, that same money, that same song, whatever, also generates money towards the publishing side. And to collect that money from the publishing side, you have to have a publishing entity representing you one way or the other. Unlike that year, when you are signed to a big record label, it was only all those Sony Music, all those big Sony Music publishing, they were able to collect it. But now there are means for people and other solo artists and not even signed artists, you know, for them to be able to get all these outcomes. So basically, as a producer, the major thing you should do is, when it comes to publishing, the best people I suggest is SongTrust. So SongTrust, when you register with them for your publishing, they will also register you to a performance rights body, like the BMI or IMR, different bodies. They will register you. So they'll save you the stress of doing one or two together. So basically, open SongTrust. I can send a link so that the people that are interested can have like a discount. You know, you open your SongTrust, you register your publishing, you are going to pay a fee. I think it's $100. It doesn't change. And it's just a one-time fee. When you open the SongTrust account, they help you by registering you as an artist so that you can collect royalties and you can collect your publishing money. So everything is set. Then outside that, you have to register for Sound Exchange. Sound Exchange is just the platform for you to be able to collect income that your song generates from online radio or just different online platforms that just stream, online streaming platforms. Not like them YouTube and other stuff, but some similar platforms that those other money collecting platforms don't cover. You know, so basically as a producer, you don't have to be confused. Just get your publishing and register as a songwriter. And you can do that with SongTrust. That's like a good start. So when you have all that stuff in place, there's this lawyer too that I'm friends with, Aki Emilo, is popular on IG. He can help people too with all that process. So basically, when you have that process set up, you know, so now when you work with artists, there's what you call a split sheet. A split sheet is something that states the agreement in a song, because generally when there's a body of song, for example, now I'm producing a song for you, definitely, defaultly, producers are supposed to have like 50% of the publishing of the song, but you get 50% as the writer or the performer of the song. You know, so two ways like that. And last, it boils down to whatever the arrangement is, you know, because as a producer now, you have an opportunity to work on like Two-Face or in the studio stuff. You will not be saying, oh, Baba, let me bring my split sheet or another stuff. But, you know, in Africa, you have to make use of some opportunities, but at the same time, you have to be smart, you know. It's not as if the spaceship won't come in. It will come in at the point where the body of the song is ready. Not from the beginning where they can even cancel the song, but the song can go and sleep in the hard drive, you know. So you need to know how to structure your stuff, but main thing, you need to be available. Make the song. When you do the song and the song is done, tell them about the spaceship, you know. You need to know how to come in. But other international bodies, maybe outside Nigeria, like before you start up self, sometimes they will give you the producer, okay, this is the spaceship for the song. We know maybe you're supposed to take 50%, but you're taking this percentage because they will still pay you money, you know. But after even paying you money, you still need to take royalties. And royalties come from the publishing side and from the master side. The master royalties is what I'm saying from the distribution, you know. But the main thing producers should fight for is their publishing. That is your own stuff, because publishing is the main money. So, yeah, when you have all that stuff set up, you know, I won't say... When you have that set up, when you have all that set up working, it's not be easy for you to work with artists without having issues, all these issues that the producers have. Like, this artist is only royalties. You might still have those issues because it's not easy to work with some of the artists, especially the top ones. And especially when sometimes working with some of these artists is like an opportunity for you to get some form of exposure. You just have to be smart, you know. Do the work. When the work is done, send your split sheet. Let them know this is this. Yes, you get a lawyer, someone like the Aki Emilo. Let him know they know how to handle those things, because not everybody can be upright with checking their business. Most creatives just want to get into their system and, you know, do what they do. I hope I'm making some sense. So.
Definitely, you are making sense. I'm really, really, you know, enjoying what you're saying. Again, for the sake of, you know, those that are listening and want to become, you know, a record producer like you, I'm just going to ask you two questions. One is for aspiring record users, and the others are for, you know, fast rising artists. So the first one for, you know, aspiring record producers, what are those three basic production software that you can recommend, mm-hmm. you know, for them that they can, you know, get their hands on and they can, you know, begin to practice? That's, you know, the first question. And then the second one is, for 5,000 artists that might be listening and I say, oh yes, I've had that song that he produced for the band. I've had that song that he did for, you know, Timaya and the Big Likes, and I want to work with him. How, you know, accessible are you to fast rising artists?
So, okay, first of all, for, you know, producers that are starting up or just maybe wanting to get into their zone and just, you know, get their hands on some good software or good gears. So basically, I use hardware and I use software. But let me just go on to the software first. I think basically, if you are even starting, like FL Studio is one of the major softwares, because even in South Africa itself, most of the major producers, they still use FL Studio. So I use FL Studio. I like FL Studio because I grew up with it. That's basically like, that's like my home, because that's where I started from, you know. So just FL, I'm very comfy when I see the screen and everything. FL Studio is a very good software. It is affordable too. I like Logic when it comes to recording, even production, but it depends on how versatile you can be, because these softwares are basically similar things. It's just like a house, you know, whatever you do in your house. Maybe you have a house, you like to come and cook, or maybe you like to come and bring girls and entertain girls in your house. Whatever system you put in that house, however you design the room, you know, that's how it appeals to your client or to how you move around. You know where your kitchen is, you know where this is and other things are. So basically what I'm saying in the sense of softwares is, before you even get your softwares, you need to get your sample packs. You know, when you have your sample packs, I'm talking of your kick, your drums, your snare, just different sounds you need to create your production. So once you have those things down, those are the elements that will build whatever you're doing. You can work with any DAW or platform. That's what I mean, the software. You can work with any DAW, whether it's Fruity Loops, whether it's Logic, whether it's Ableton, you know, Cubase. But once you have your samples, you just need to know how to use the software. And it's easy. It's just play, stop, arrange, click, you know, basic things, you know. But like I said, you can only start with FL Studio. But I think it's easy on the eye and it's just affordable for people to start with, you know. Well, for me personally, I use Logic and I use FL. I use Pro Tools. And I use MPC as my hardware and software. I like the MPC because it helps me when I'm sampling or making drums or making some kind of unique instrumentation. I use that. So that's that for the producers, you know. Then for artists, my Instagram page is Sean's Beats. Sean's Beats. It's just at Sean's Beats. If you send a DM or you see my email too, it's there. I receive emails. My manager can receive emails for me. So if you send like stuff to my email, definitely I'll reach back. And I think there's a number there. I'm sure there's a number for booking. I have to check. I'm not sure on my Instagram page. If you should call that number or text that number on WhatsApp, definitely somebody will reply you. Then we can talk about your music or whatever interest you want to do. I'm down for it.
You've heard. Go to his Instagram page. Send him a message. Send him a mail. If you see a number there, call the number, yes, and it's down, you know, to work with you as much as, you know, you're serious with your music. All right. Sean's Beat, thank you very, very much, you know, for being on the podcast. I really, really, you know, appreciate. But let's try and end this. Let's try and end this on a lighter note. And let's forget about the whole, you know, music and beats and everything for a second. Let's just talk about, you know, you as a person. Outside music, outside production, what do you like doing?
What do I like doing?
Yeah.
Outside music, I love to cook. I love to cook, you know. Yeah, just the way I cook with. I love to spend time in the kitchen. I love to cook. And besides that too, I shoot videos because I love to make videos, edit videos. And I have some couple of videos too I've done, you know. Yeah, so, but outside that, I like to watch movies. I watch a lot of movies because I actually work on movies too. I'm actually working on the movie stuff recently. I make sounds for movies and do some editing too for movies. So I like to watch a lot of movies because it helps me. And outside that too, I play video games, you know, then hang out with friends when I can. And I just do some few fun things. But most times I'm indoor. I'm just on my laptop. I'm at home most times. I don't like to go out too much. But once the opportunity is there, you understand? There's mobility, like, okay, it's time, let's move on that one. Yeah, once in a while, I just go out, you know, I just take that space, just refresh my space, my head, you know, before I come back to my zone and get on with my creative space again. Then one thing I didn't mention, my Instagram name is at Sean Beats. That's SeanzBeatz. Sean's Beats. Yeah.
You mentioned that you like cooking and you enjoy cooking. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you pound yam on your first date for a girl?
I want this kind of yam with that one. I need to pound yam. I'm not pounding any yam. This kind of pound yam. Something like it's pounded. No, I won't even cook soup for the guests. Yeah, I will not be sweating funny. No, I won't do that. Like, I don't think I've never even funny yam before, sir. When I was small, one time I've tried it, but like, definitely, man. I don't think I will fall on that side.
All right. So, is there any, any future project that you're working on that we should be expecting, or anything new that is out right now that we should go listen to?
Yes, I actually have a beat album, an instrumental album online. It's called God of Beats. It's on iTunes everywhere, on any platform, any streaming platform. You can just check it out. They're just different beats, you know. Even as an artist, you can take some of the beats, you can use them. And I have other singles that I've dropped, like compilation of works with different artists, like some of the artists I mentioned, All Them Dwellers, some Two Face and the rest. I have some compilation. But these are works from way back. So there's a way I titled it. If you see my catalog on iTunes or online, just any streaming platforms, you see it there. Then for future projects, apart from one I'm working with other artists, I'm working with like The Bunch. I have a project coming out with The Bunch. I have a project coming out with CDQ. But that one is not my own project. That's just work that I'm working with, you know. But basically, for my own self, like recently, I just started doing some movie soundtracks again. So I'm going to be putting out some movie soundtrack projects. I don't really see that, you know. So the tracks might not be much, but definitely it's going to be a good body of work. Then besides those movie projects, I'm going to put out some singles. There's a single that I have that I don't know when I'll be dropping it, so I don't want to say too much about it, but I collaborated with some artists from Zimbabwe and the song is really dope. So I'm looking forward to dropping that song anytime soon. Definitely anytime soon.
All right. Once again, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I really do appreciate, and it's been a lovely conversation.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've come to the end of another episode of the Chacha Hitmaker series. So I come every week, another episode. My name will always remain Afistonova, your musical plug, creator of the Energy Force. Remember, keep the energy, keep it 100, and keep it positive. Time for the cha-cha gang. Give me the cha-cha gang. Rocking with the best, the cha-cha gang. Give me the cha-cha gang. Alayela wa cha-cha gang. Give me the cha-cha gang. Watch my body, cha-cha gang. Give me the cha-cha gang. Cha-cha gang. Watch my body.